This morning I'd like us to turn to 2 Corinthians. I want to read it to you first of all as you follow in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now, I'll read that again. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And you'll notice right off that it actually isn't in proper order. Usually we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But here he says Son, Father, and Holy Spirit. And the obvious and easy conclusion is this. He's talking to Christians now. He has been talking to Christians. He wants them to understand relationship and fellowship. He wants them to understand that the beginning place for all believers is to ever be reminded of the gift of Christ's righteousness by grace through faith in which we stand. That's where this whole story of your Christian life begins. It doesn't begin with anything else. It does not begin with the love of God. The love of God is revealed to you in the cross. The love of God revealed to you in the cross is preceded by the grace of God that enables you to see it. Paul, and as Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Well, the fact of the matter is, for a thing to be revealed, it must be revealed by God the Holy Spirit on earth today. So he starts with the grace and says, I want you to understand the grace. And I'm going to sort of flip over these three quickly, and then I'm going to back up and start again. But before we understand this necessity to receive the gift of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that does away with judgment for the rest of our lives. I'm standing in grace. Judgment is a thing of the past for me and for how I look at life. And that's essential, by the way. Keep in mind, one of the three ways to fall from grace is to try to throw a bit of law in it and become legalistic. I'll say that again. Well, you see, the devil's a liar. I wish you wouldn't just hear that and think it and move on, how poetic. No, he's a liar. The first lie he ever committed on planet Earth was to Adam and Eve, the first people. And before that, the biggest and first lie he spoke in the beginning, before then, was to the angels when he said, come follow me, we can take this thing over. He's a liar. The Bible calls him, therefore, the father of lies. That is to say, they began with him. For those of you who think that for lying to exist, it must have been in God somehow, somewhere, it says it began with Satan. Satan is the father of lies. Not Satan is the victim of lies which are in God. But Satan is the father of lies. And it's essential for you to understand that. And how did he have all this kinds of space? Easy. God is love. And let me say this thing, the first thing about love you must settle in your heart, it gives freedom. Anyone who says they love you and keeps you in bondage and keeps you with their thumb on you and comes up with their rigid requirements, pain in the neck situation, doesn't love you, they're fearing you. I'm telling you, I'm taking up a special offering today. These controlling, manipulating, narcissistic kind of people who want to run your life as though you were a stringed puppet don't love you, and they talk about it all day long. Oh, I love you. No, you don't. You've got me caged in this house, terrorized. You don't love me. You're full of fear, and you're calling it love. What you need is a revelation of the love of God Almighty. That's going to take grace, our first point. I really want you to settle that. It's a dirty lie from the father of lies. Manipulating, controlling. Can't breathe. Well, I've got news for you. That's not love met by love. So now why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I want you to understand that these three gifts of Christmas are to be received. Sure, it takes the Holy Ghost. Sure, it takes the power of God. Sure, it takes the revelation. Sure, it takes grace, if you please, as we start with grace. But the fact of the matter is, you can say no. And you can say no to grace. We'll come to a scripture in a little while where Paul said, hey, But the grace of God was with me. That means I could access it or pay no attention to it. I brought my credit card, but I just didn't access that thing and use it. Paul said, lest you are those kind of people who receive the grace of God in vain. What is this receiving the grace of God in vain? Well, grace is always with you. Your standing is in grace, it's always with you. But you can receive it in vain. That is to say, you can let it be and go on your own merry way, in your own strength, your own power, your own unction. It wasn't for real. You didn't access that thing. Don't know what you accessed. Don't know what you had going. Don't know what you were going after. I know what you said, but I tell you here and now, it's in vain. This thing you got going on is a wet squib. It doesn't go bang. So I want us to settle that. We receive the grace. We receive the love. We receive the communion. And you have got to make a conscious decision. You can be saved all your life and hardly ever access grace beyond the grace to be born again. You can be saved all your life long and never access the love. You can believe in it and it can lie dormant in your heart, but you don't receive it. And you can believe in the communion of the Holy Ghost. I am amazed at how many people, even from this congregation, have come to me and said, well, it's wonderful to hear about that and be reminded. Be reminded? Do I have to be reminded I'm married? I wake up with a woman in my life. I go to bed. She's always in my plans and in my thoughts. I want you to understand something. You can have the Holy Ghost inside you. He can be next to you. I don't care if he's in your hand. But you don't receive that gift of the Holy Ghost and receive the relationship every day. You will go it self-righteously in the flesh, full of pride, and you won't receive his communion. And I've got, and by the way, when we do get to the communion of the Holy Ghost, I've got 5 earmarks to show you whether you're receiving the communion. And under grace, it just so happened I got 5 there to show you if you're standing in grace and in love. Because this is not a game. People believe it. You see, folks believe it, but they don't receive it.
Yeah.
I mean, I counsel folks sometimes. It's interesting to me. They believe their wife loves them, but they refuse to receive it. My goodness me, I don't trust that stuff. Hey, I learned better than that. You got to receive the grace. You got to, why is it called a gift? Oh, that was a big one.
Right.
And the love, it's called a gift. And the communion, it's a gift. You got to receive it. I want to say this. Could I say this? And this is the psychological problem. If you're going to do it from man's point of view. To the extent that you let go, you'll receive that love. You'll receive that grace and that communion. The problem is folks try to receive the grace of God, but they keep hang on to their help, their own abilities and their own intentions and their own plans and their own best wishes. Same thing with love. Same thing with grace. Same thing with communion and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I received this gift. I received this communion, but I've got this plan. I've got this thing going. And I'm going to tell you here and now. I wrote this down. The Holy Spirit says to me, to receive, you have to surrender all unconditionally. Let go before you can take hold of. To receive the grace, to receive the love, to receive the communion, you've got to surrender all unconditionally. I mean, when you get married, will you take this woman? Will you take them a rich of a poor? Let me tell you, those vows mean nothing unless you surrender to one another's love. Don't tell me you love me and in your heart you love that and you love that and you love that. And I've given you all my love. You liar. You just turned on for the moment. You've got to surrender unconditionally to the love of God on that cross. You've got to surrender unconditionally to the grace of salvation. I was just mentioning the other day, this powerful preacher, he said, you know, you preach in India, where they have multi-gods, more gods in India than any country in the world. They worship everything. And he said, you give an invitation and there are thousands of people out there. Would you like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and repent of your sins? He said, they'll come forward by the tens of thousands. But if you say to them, who today is willing to let go of all their other gods and receive Jesus Christ as the only one true God, the Almighty God who died for you, as he said, you'll knock out 35-50% of the people right there, because they're more than happy to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as long as they can, this can save them and that can save them, and they've got this backup plan and they have this That's the problem with Christianity today. Folks have not surrendered all unconditionally, but they want to receive the grace of the Lord Jesus for this situation and that. No, you liar. You've got a backup plan. You're planning on doing it in your righteous flesh. You're planning on telling everybody what you did. You're planning on saying, look at me. You've got a plan. You didn't burn the bridge and say, my God, I've gone to the edge of all the light that God has given me, and I'm stepping into the dark. I'm a dead man if this doesn't work. That's unconditional receiving. It is. That's unconditional receiving of whether it be the grace of the Lord Jesus or the love of God. I am astounded at how many people receive the love of God academically or conditionally. Well, yeah, I'm going to believe in it. If you ever held yourself accountable to receiving these three gifts of Christmas properly, it changed your life. Now you say, but this is pretty rough. It's the truth.
Yeah.
To receive, you have to surrender all, unconditionally. Let go before you can take hold of. You cannot take hold of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're hanging on to something else also. You cannot receive and take hold of the love of God unless you let go what you're hanging on to in case, or to cover it, or to supplement. You cannot receive the communion. And I'm so deadly tempted to start with the one on the communion, because folks don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, you gotta have communion with the Holy Ghost. What is that? I'll tell you what. It's about realizing that you've gone from being a fleshly human being to a spirit person, of the Spirit, as the Scriptures put it, and now you are going to have to get to know this man called the Spirit of God, because he is a person. And you're going to have to get to recognize him in everything you say and do and sense. There is a communion. If you substitute for communion presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, your presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your decisions, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your plans. And I'm going to say it again, to receive the presence and to live in that presence, you have to surrender all unconditionally before you can take hold of the presence. The problem too many Christians have is, and I say this, and I don't want to say this, I say this weeping in my heart, they recognize more the presence of this, that, and the other thing than they do the Holy Ghost. And they haven't been saved for a weekend. They've been saved for decades. And you know, you have to learn the presence of. But if we are of the Spirit, if we're called to this communion, you see, communion isn't something you take. It isn't something you experience for a moment. The communion of the Holy Spirit, my friends, is to be with you always. That's one of the reasons, one of the things Paul said, Christian people are those who are, in Romans 8, led by the Spirit. Well, now how can you lead me if I'm not holding on to your hand? And we are discussing this direction. I remember when Brian and my younger brother and I were little boys, 4, 5, and 3, and a little bit older, everywhere we went, we had to go holding hands. We weren't going to lose one of us. And I've got a photograph in my bedroom of BD and me. We were about that tall, holding hands. I remember that day clearly. My brother Victor, my oldest brother, he took it. We were walking along the beachfront, and we were holding hands because that was required of us. Hold hands. Well, I don't want you to lose one another. Well, now we're talking about the communion of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the love of Almighty God. We're talking about the grace of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you aren't holding hands. I mean, every now and then you grab out and snatch out and go, for my God, where are you? Where's this grace? Where is this love? Where's this communion? Yeah, that's not holding hands, honey. That is sending out an SOS, because in your righteous flesh, you've gone about your affairs and you don't treat it as something you should receive and hang on to. And oftentimes, now listen to this, oftentimes people like that treat every relationship like that. People like that, all relationships become a convenience. Something that works for them. Well, this works for me. Because a relationship is supposed to be a relationship whether it works for you or not. God's love is supposed to work for you whether it works for you or not. The grace is supposed to be there whether it works for you or not. The communion is supposed to be there whether it works for you or not. And I haven't a clue why it wouldn't work for you, but I'm not getting into that story. That is definitely a tangent I don't want to go on. I'm talking about the three gifts of Christmas, and I'm saying you have to receive them. And if you don't receive them and hang on to them, I don't give them away. Oh, God, why did they give me this gift, Lord? What am I going to do? What am I going to do with this junk? You can't do that. That's not receiving. That's sort of touch and go, like that sign at the Nice airport on the Riviera. There's one lane there for the traffic coming in to drop passengers off. And the big sign above it says, kiss and fly. In other words, kiss, get out of that car, and the car keep on going. And some of you have kiss and fly relationships. You never parked a car one time in your entire life because it might not be convenient. It might not be comfortable. It might not suit you in your day. So it's kiss and fly. And you've taken that relationship into your Christian experience. It's kiss and fly with the grace of the Lord Jesus. It's kiss and fly with the love of Almighty God. It's kiss and fly with the communion of the Holy Ghost. And you wonder why you're always getting out there somewhere left field and totally misrepresenting the sincerity of your heart. Can I say something about that? Please don't ever talk to me about the sincerity of your heart, because I'm just going to be quite bilious. If your heart was really that sincere, why is it you have a kiss and fly relationship with the three greatest gifts God has ever given to us? I'll tell you why. Because you want to be in control, because you want to keep this thing convenient, and you want an out if you want one. I'm into the love of God, as long as he understands I love a lot of other stuff too, and he's on the list. I'm even willing to put your love at the top of the list for most of the time. That's kiss and fly. I'm willing to access the grace and go further than I've ever been in my life by the grace of God and give him the glory. But I'm going to also be doing this. And you know, right now is not a time for me to use the grace of God. Let's get practical. The enemy of the grace of God is, let's get practical with the situation. I'm going to tell you here now, if Jesus had become practical with the situation, he wouldn't have gone on the cross. And of those martyrs who saved, who died on the cross, chose to be practical and save their lives, they wouldn't have died for the cause of Christ. They'd have said, let's be practical and deny just a little bit of this. You know, between you and me, you know I don't even mean it, but we'll just do it so we won't get killed. It's kiss and fly. Let's be practical with the communion of the Holy Ghost. I mean, how can I listen to the Holy Spirit all the time? Who can understand him? I got news for you. You can, because you've been born of the Spirit and now you're led of the Spirit. And I got my little list of five, but I'm getting a little worked up here because the Holy Ghost's got a burden on his heart. And the burden on God's heart is this: to receive, you have to surrender all unconditionally. And I'm telling you, most Christians lack the sounds of that when it's ethereal and they're being born again. Yeah, I surrender all. I surrender all and get saved, but that's about the end of it, buddy. Surrendering has come and gone now. I'm not surrendering anymore. And I want you to know, salvation isn't about getting you to heaven alone. Salvation will get you to heaven. And that's a tongue-in-cheek statement for us anyway, because we go there, it's a temporary waiting place in paradise till the new heaven and the earth, new earth. But you understand what I'm saying. Salvation will get you to heaven, but you didn't get saved to go to heaven. You got saved to have the relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden between you and your God restored. So that your God could walk with you and talk with you and experience with you and sleep with you and wake you up. You got saved to restore what was lost when man chose Satan's advice over God's advice. When man chose the Satan's solutions rather than God's solutions. You got saved for relationship with God and then with others. One of the reasons our relationships as people fall apart is because we try to have them without God. We don't bring the grace into the relationships. We don't bring the love into the relationships. We don't bring the communion of the Holy Ghost into our relationships. You know what we do? We bring ourselves and our feelings into our relationships. Yeah, we do. We bring ourselves and our feelings into our relationships, and as a result of it, our relationships are unstable. I'm astounded at how far people who call themselves Christians, who come to church regularly, who pay tithes and give offerings, who read their Bible, have gone back on the grace and returned to the law to feel good about themselves. They don't do this and they do that, and they're sure that they won't mix with those who do that. Now they're okay. As for relationships, it doesn't exist. They have a relationship with their car and their food and their job more than they do with God Almighty. They have a relationship with their bank balance more than they do God Almighty. That is their real God. And I'm not here to make anyone feel uncomfortable, but this is Christmas. And I want you to understand something, that when you stand before God one day, it's going to be all about relationships. Did I know you? Did you know me? You recall that one fella, he says, well, Lord, I did this and I did that and I did the other thing for you. And what did Jesus say to him? First of all, I never knew you. We didn't have a relationship. You might have called yourself a Christian and you might have been full of all the things you didn't do and wouldn't do. And, oh, yes, I'm a Christian and all that stuff. But he didn't know you. Oh, he knows you, but he didn't know you as someone with whom he had a relationship. And you know, God is a jealous God. Now, we don't understand jealousy as a part of love. James will teach you that lesson. God is jealous of your love. He made you for himself. And because he made you for himself, he's planning on having you to himself. He died, and the Corinthian epistle says we are bought with a price. We were bought with the price of Christ's blood. Why? For himself. So he could get you to heaven? Well, that's part of what is on the program. But he made you to have a relationship with him. And to have a relationship with him, you have to surrender. We talk about, well, surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What is that all about? Relationship. It's another way of saying the same thing. So when we talk about the three gifts of Christmas, I'm talking about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and living by that grace and the success that grace brings you. I'm talking about the love of our Heavenly Father and no more unlove or strange love or what kind of love is that going on in your life. I'm talking about the communion of the Holy Spirit and no more living in the flesh. You see, the communion of the Holy Spirit means I'm not living in the flesh anymore. I have a flesh, but I consider it a ghost from the past. I consider it a voice from the grave. I consider it crucified and dead, and I reckon it dead. The truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, the three gifts of Christmas are truly gifts to be received. And God wants you to, because he saved you for relationship. And that's why I said to receive, you have to surrender it all unconditionally. Let go before you can take hold of. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 14 before I go any further? Look at Luke chapter 14 a little bit, if you don't mind, ladies and gentlemen. I want to elaborate just slightly on this. I want to show you how serious God is about surrendering all unconditionally, and you can't take something unless you open your hand. In Luke chapter 14, it starts in verse 25. Have we all found that beautifully? We're going to go 25, and we're going to go through 35. Luke 14, 25. And great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, before we read this, look up. Isn't it interesting? Now get this. Great multitudes were following, but he's going to ask them, who wants to follow me? Isn't that something? Because not everyone who follows you is for you. And that's true of Jesus Christ also. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but you're not for Jesus Christ, you're for yourself. You're for your own angles. So he says in verse 25, and great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now that is some extreme language. Mm-hmm. Now he's not saying hate your mother. He's not saying hate your brother. What he's saying is this: I'm going to be on an exclusive list.
Right.
Or you can't be my disciple. I got three gifts to give you, and you're going to have to wash your hands before you can grab hold of these gifts, and no one can share the receiving. Verse 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And that little interesting verse is thrown in there to remind us that when we come unconditionally and surrender, that might be a little expensive for some. Was it amazing to me, listen to this, the older you get, the more you get on the side. Little bit of stuff on the side here, a couple of little side journeys. And he said, you know, when you surrender to me, you gotta cut the strings. You might have to take up your cross. In other words, it might hurt. You might have to kill something inside you and say, you ain't coming with. That is so big and so important, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to tell you. Too many people come to Christ and say they surrender, I surrender all, and they actually are doing it with a reserve. Look at verse 28. To which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Now that's a very interesting analogy. He said, you know something? Here's what I think of those of you who say, you want to be my disciple. Oh yes, and I'll leave all and follow you. He said, you said that, everyone heard you say that, you came forward, you said that. That's your testimony. You love to give your testimony. And he said, in actual fact, now look at this. You're showing everybody you didn't really mean it, because something else came up down the road and you made that the hot issue. And something came up and some opportunity opened up, you made that the problem. And he said, it's not surrender, you are not my disciple. And another analogy in verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Now that's an interesting analogy. He says, you know, you say I mean everything to you, but there's something in your heart that means twice as much, and you're not surrendering that. There's something in your heart that means twice as much, and you're saying, yes, I surrender all unconditionally. I want to receive this grace. I want to receive this love. I want to receive this communion. But in actual fact, there are things in your heart that mean more to you. See, you cannot be done. He says in verse 33, if you'll jump down, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And then what an interesting analogy about salt right after this. He says, you know what the problem with some people is? They're like salt that doesn't taste like salt. He says in verse 34, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how can it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him. He says, if you want to hear, then you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. You want to receive the gift and you haven't got empty hands. And again, I'll say what I said a moment ago. To the extent you let go, you will receive. Do you think that that could be the reason why some of you just haven't got the satisfaction you should have out of grace? Or perhaps the satisfaction you should have out of the love of Almighty God? Or perhaps the satisfaction you should have be receiving out of the communion with the Holy Ghost? The truth be told, to the extent you let go, you will receive. You say, well, you know, I want to receive you as my dear friend, Dr. Drummond, and you've got a reserve about 84% inside, you say. This is more important with you than you. When the rubber hits the road, my 84% is going to win, buddy, and you're losing. Yes, I'm willing to say, Lord Jesus, you mean all the world to me, and I surrender to your grace, and I receive this grace, and I'm going to reign in life by grace. But I tell you what, Lord Jesus, there's some things that are pretty important to me, and that sale right now, and that job right now, and that relationship right now, frankly, is ahead of you in the game. You see, if you think back, folks, because most of us have been saved for many years, there was a day. Say there was a day.
There was a day
when you got on your face and surrendered everything you were, including the hairs on the back of your head. You followed God shockingly. You gave up everything on a level that really caused your mom and dad to think you're out of your ever-loving, cotton-picking mind. And you more likely were out of your mind, because you meant business. And my God, I believe, and I'm surrendering all to God. I'm letting it all go. And look what God did you in those early experiences of true surrender, so that you can receive the grace, you can receive the love, you can receive the communion. What a thing you had, and look who you were. Now I just ask you one thing today about these three gifts. Do they still mean that much to you? Oh, you know, in time I've matured a little bit. I've experienced a few things a little bit. And to tell you the truth, I've learned to rely on that a little bit more than I used to. And I've learned to depend on this a little more than I used to. And I've learned to avoid that and to say this and to give in to that. And you know, it comes under one big heading. Could I say this to you in love? It comes under the heading of compromise. You have compromised your relationship to God with lesser things. Grandchildren, children, spouse, stuff, jobs. I mean, you've compromised it because you're afraid, and because you aren't sure, and because you are doubting, can God truly come through for me? Can God really keep me covered? I mean, if I let go of everything and receive that love, if I let go of everything and get into that grace and access it, if I really count on the communion of the Holy Ghost and what he's saying to me, if I let go of everything and say, this is a do or die deal for me, will God let me down? Will I be embarrassed? Will I be ashamed? And I'm going to tell you right here now, my darling, dearest, beloved friends, that I think the world of, he will not let you down. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall.
Amen.
The fact of the matter is, God wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to get off your hobby horse. He wants you to come unconditionally with open hands and say, God in heaven, I'm tired of negotiating. I'm tired of making my own faith into a political rally. I'm tired of baby hurting that one's feelings. Maybe, but I'm tired of it. God, unless the Lord builds this house, I'm done. Unless the Lord builds this job, I'm done. I believe in us. Oh, I want you to be able to say that with all of your hearts to God. God, I believe in us. I believe in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, bound together by love, one in love. And I believe I have been added to that. I was talking to someone the other day, and I don't remember who, about the body of Christ. And I was saying, the body of Christ isn't an entity out there that these preachers keep talking about, the body of Christ. They are using it in the wrong way. The body of Christ is actually Jesus Christ's body. That is to say, it's up there in heaven. And Paul says in the Ephesian epistle, somehow mysteriously, mystically, he says, we are a part of that thing. Somehow this man is actually a part of the body of Christ. And that is the only body of Christ. So I can't say, there's the body of Christ. No, it's the body's name is Jesus. And I'm a part of that body. And the only manifestation of that body on earth is the local church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The local church is supposed to look like the body of Christ in heaven. That is so big. You can think about that for the rest of your life. The local church is supposed to look like the body of Christ in heaven, which is why he is not afraid to say, we were all baptized into one body. Now, I want to tell you about the Holy Ghost. He's not afraid to say to you, water, you need to be baptized in water into Christ, into the church, into the body, and in the very next breath say, the Holy Spirit baptized you spiritually into this stuff. And he's not afraid of you confusing salvation with the physical experience here on earth, because he knows you've been born again and you've been justified and you ain't a dummy. You were baptized into Christ. Oh yes, spiritually, hog fat. You were baptized into Christ in the water, and you were baptized to Christ into Christ in salvation. And as far as God is concerned, it never entered his mind you'd make two deals out of these things. Baptism doesn't save you. It's a type, it's a figure, it's a picture. But I've got news for you. God never figured there'd be a generation of believers who'd have to pray about being baptized. What in the thunder is that all about? Just give me one example of that. So what am I saying? Let's get back to where I was at. I was having a good little old journey there, wasn't I? I love you folks, and it's Christmas time. And I want you to receive the gifts. These three marvelous best Christmas gifts you'll ever receive. The grace of the Lord Jesus, so that judgment is a thing of the past and failure is a thing of the past, but you've got grace you can access. And the love of the Heavenly Father to replace the scary unlove that tries so badly to take up residence in our souls, doesn't it? Be sure of the fact of his love. Receive that. Father, I receive your love. I believe in your love. And I believe in all kinds of love and things I thought I needed for love. But I believe in your love more than anything in the world. And everything else is lesser. And Holy Spirit, you are my best friend. You're my comforter and my guide. And your communion with me, your fellowship, our relationship. I'm in the Spirit now. I'm lost in the Spirit without knowing the Holy Ghost. I need relationship. I receive this gift in you, and every day I do. Every day I go over it again and say, oh Jesus, I receive your grace in you today. He says those are as receive and access the grace. I receive your love in you. Every time I hear about the love of God, I say, God, ever enlarge me to receive your love and pour it back to you and others. Every time I hear about the communion of the Holy Ghost, I say yes, and I've been talking to you all day, and you learn to listen to the Holy Ghost at a variety of levels. I'll get to that. I get so bored with these minor points that are so important, and I promised you, you pray for me, and I mean that sincerely, I will get to them. If you don't pray for me, I'm liable to leave it, and all the notes will stay in my book. And when I'm dead, you can read them. The truth of the matter is, there are three gifts of Christmas, and God wants you to receive them. And I'm going to say it again. To the extent you let go, you will receive them. That's Amen. The bottom line. To the extent you let go. And my question this morning is, do you want to receive the three gifts again today, which you can do? And do you want to let go like you've never let go before, like you let go when you first got saved? Do you want to let go and say, my God, I let go of it all, so I've got empty hands to receive the grace, to receive the love, to receive the communion, because I'm not coming to the table to say I want relationship with you, mighty God, and I've got four others that are on my mind right now. Whether they were with people or with stuff, I don't know. Are you there today? Do you want to receive the three gifts of Christmas? Shall we bow our heads this morning, ladies and gentlemen? You've been asked the question. Now it is time for you to respond and to receive. So I wonder if you want to receive these three gifts, if you'd pray this prayer quietly right where you are. I'm going to pray. But you pray these words and make them your own before God. Dear Father, I want to receive these three gifts of Christmas. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of my Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. But I know that I've had other stuff in my hands, and I haven't come empty-handed always. I've had things going on inside me and around me and given them more attention than the wholehearted attention our relationships deserve. And I want to apologize. God, forgive me. Forgive me for hurting our relationship, for minimizing our relationship, for devaluating it like this. I come today unconditionally and I surrender all. And in the name of the blood of Jesus, I say, I receive anew today the grace of the Lord Jesus to reign in life. Without reservation, I receive the love of God to rise up full of him whose love is endless. And I receive a new Holy Spirit communion with you, relationship with you. And every other I let go and say, you are the number one relationship I want in life. I thank you for these three gifts. I receive them in Jesus' name. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your believing, so that you are bound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.